My name is Jonette Gay, and I'm the pastor of Otterbein United Methodist Church. I have with me today our media specialist.
Hi, Jason Burgess.
And we want to talk and we want to listen. Our faith is seen and understood in many topics. We're glad you've tuned in today to Hey Hey, anybody listening? Well, hi, Jason.
Hi.
Good to see you today. And you are the subject. You're not always the subject when we have interviews, but you're the one.
Yeah. I did some mission work over the summer, and we're going to talk a little bit about it today.
I'm so glad. Now, you went several years ago, right?
Yeah, 22 years ago.
A lot has happened in between then and now, right?
Yeah, a lot has happened there, for sure.
Well, in your own life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's something that I had been wanting to go back to doing, and I'm really happy to finally gotten to a place where I can do that.
And was it what you expected or more, or...?
You know, I didn't have any real expectations going back, but and on this trip, it was kind of more of a sort of reunion to the woman that who organizes this trip. I claim that she was my original sort of spiritual mentor. She was somebody who was there in my life when I was young and really helped me develop a sense of my faith.
Didn't you tell me that there were people who prayed for you?
There were some surprises on this trip. We've talked about my battle with drug addiction in the shows before, and I didn't know this, but the first time that I had gone into treatment that was not successful, this group was there in Honduras, and I was in contact with them, and they had brought my struggle to a pastor there who was working for a drug rehabilitation center, which is also part of this whole facility where the children's home is that I went to do this mission work with. And on the first day back to this place in Cofradía, Honduras, the school that is also associated with this children's home where I did this mission work had a little celebration of the family. And so I, you know, we just got there after, you know, flying in and everything. And
jet lag.
Yeah. So I just went to the thing. I was like, oh, well, you know, it was all in Spanish. You know, there was no reason really for me to be there. But this pastor came up and he was talking to the crowd, and the woman who I went there, Bobby Updegraff, she was translating sort of what he was saying to me. And then she was telling me, oh, she shared my story with him. And it was kind of interesting. Some of the things that she translated that he was just saying in general to the, you know, the group of families there really kind of hit home. So I know right when he came off stage, she ran out and went and talked to him, and then they flagged me out, and she introduced me to him, and I found out there that they had been praying for me for 5 years at this drug rehabilitation center. And so after hearing that, I asked them if it would be okay if I came up there and gave a little talk. So they organized a little event where I came, and before one of the lunch, got to thank all the people who were at that facility for thinking of me, and then share my story a little bit with the current patients there. It was quite a exciting experience to get to share that, and never realizing that going out on this trip, thinking that this was going to be a part of it. So
God's not limited to geography all the way there in Honduras.
No.
Wow.
And it's kind of strange how I feel, how connected I was to the place. I don't know. I had been there 22 years ago. It was the first time that this group had ever been to this place when I was there. And we just happened to be there on happenstance because they had a facility that we could lodge in while we were working somewhere else in that village. And I mean, I don't want to say too much because I got some interviews of the ladies who organized this trip.
Well, tell us about the interviews that we're about to hear.
Well, the interviews are with Roberta Updegraff, Kathy Temple, and a woman named Leslie Olmsted Santee. Kathy and Roberta were there on that first trip. And on that first trip, we just discovered that we enjoyed providing some retreat for these kids. You know, it's a children's home. It's called the Friends of Renaissance. This organization that I go with is called Friends of Renaissance. Renaissance is the name of the children's home. After the week that we were there, I got the get them all to sit down and just answer a few questions and tell a little bit about how it is that they got there and a little bit about their organization now, which is an organization that provides scholarships now for these kids who are in a home. They are able to provide a little more after they're out of that home.
I was also able to interview a young man whom 22 years ago I held in my arms as an infant toddler, and then now on this trip got to see how he has grown up and matured with a degree in history and is now working in that field.
I'll let them talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing these interviews.
Would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your mission?
Okay, my name is Roberta Updegraff. I am a grandma, and I used to do a lot of writing for the Presbyterian Church USA. Worked for disaster assistance, which took me to Honduras after Hurricane Mitch hit in October of 1998. And as I served down there, we stayed at an orphanage while we were doing recovery work for Hurricane Mitch. And we ended up falling in love with the little orphanage and the children that were there. And I invited my partner, Kathy Temple, to join me there the first time we went there.
Yeah, I was there with you.
That's right. I'd forgotten that. So, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to Honduras 26 times.
So what is it that brought you back? And I understand you have a very specific mission that you run and operate of this orphanage.
Friends of Renaissance is the name of the organization. We took that name, Friends of Renaissance, because the name of the orphanage is Hogar de Niños Renaissance, which means Home of the Children Reborn. And the Swedish woman who started the orphanage said that no children were orphans because they have a father in God, and they had a mother figure in her. So that's why she called it the Home of Children Reborn, because they were reborn in the fact that they had a Heavenly Father and they had people that cared about them. Mm-hmm. So we fell in love with the orphanage. The children live there family style in homes that they have a house mother, house parents, and they have a freedom. It's not dormitory style. It's not institutional style. They have a freedom to have friends in the neighborhood, to go to church in the little pueblo nearby. But particularly, we felt as we were staying there, working at a nearby work site, that God was preparing us, because I always take puppets with me everywhere. I had puppets with me, and God was preparing us for what would become what we've come to know as our ministry of presence. We, as we came year after year, we did work projects. Probably about 6-7 years into it, we realized the most important thing wasn't the rebuilding of the roof or the putting in the window or whatever it was we were assigned to do. The most important thing was our presence, and we had become the most consistent thing in those children's lives, because so often the pay is bad, etc. The directors, there would be different directors, different house parents, and when we showed up every year, that was consistency. Then after we'd been coming, I would guess, my partner Kathy can correct me, but I think we were probably close to 10 years into our visits when we realized the children that we'd been coming to see were now aging out and leaving the orphanage. And we discovered they really had nowhere to go. They were going back to the ghettos from where they came with no support system, with no network to help them transition into adulthood. So with much prayer and trepidation, Kathy Temple, Ronnie Steiger, and I started, a man named Stephen Senti, who is now deceased, started a university scholarship fund so that the young people would be able to either go to the university or go to a school to get some sort of vocational training. And now we've graduated about six of them, which is really wonderful. We have nurses and someone that was in hotel management and business. I have to think about psychology. But anyway, that's what we do.
Well, Kathy, will you introduce yourself and maybe tell us a little more about Friends of Rennes-Serre and your connection to this?
My name's Kathy Temple. I'm a retired registered nurse and also school teacher. And Bobby was substituting up at the high school where I was teaching and invited me to come the first time to Honduras. And I said, well, I love missions, but I don't know that it's my time to come to missions. Well, that was the first time I came, and I've come over 20 times now. So God knew it was my time, even if I didn't. So many things have changed through the years. And God just leads us and provides for things like we could never imagine. And being a group to bring our presence, and it's God's presence we're bringing, it's so precious because we sit around and have coffee with them. We sit around and do coloring books with them. And while it sounds trite, when they don't have any birth parents to do that with them, they crave that kind of attention. Their house parents have so many responsibilities that while they love and care for them, it's not, if you're a parent, you realize you sit down, you do things, you teach them things. And that's what we want to provide for them.
Well, I know with my time here on this trip, I certainly saw the value of that in the kids and the love that you guys gave and the love that they shared with you and the love for God. Is there any particular moment or happening that...
Just what Kathy just said. Just this morning, I read the letter from one of the young men. He's 17 years old, his name is on him. And he and his friend Selvin wrote letters to Kathy and I. And in the letter, he says, you're the only mama that we have. And we are going to miss you very, very much. So over the years, every morning about 6:30 in the morning, I've been serving the older boys because they have to work around the orphanage and they go to high school on the weekends. I've been serving them coffee and cookies and peanuts and whatever, and just kind of listening to them. I do really try to listen to them and ask them questions about their lives and just listen. And that was very touching. I was going to save the letter for on the airplane, but I read it this morning. I was very, very touched.
Beautiful. Just a little bit about Friends of Rennes-Serre. I know me and Leslie, who's also on this trip with us, paid a visit to one of the scholarships participants and were amazed at how this young man from an orphanage is holding this position in a, I'm not sure how to describe what the...
But not only from an orphanage, these kids were usually street children, abandoned children. These are not like children. And it's very sad if a middle class or rich child loses their parents. But these kids come from the poorest of the poor. They are, their situation is compounded by that situation.
Can I have you just introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Leslie Olmsted-Santee, and I am later in the journey here at being a part of Friends of Renaissance. But I'll just say today, so this is my seventh trip in 9 years, it was very exciting to visit Ernesto, one of the, as they have previously mentioned, a recipient of a scholarship. And they knew him as a little boy, and he was always interested in history. But you think, history? What kind of major is that? How are you going to, in a poor country? Well, it's pretty exciting. Ernesto did major in history, and now he has such a fascinating job helping with democracy and transparency in Honduras. And when we just walked around with him and met his boss, some of his colleagues, again, taking perspective of the lower element that they've come from, the very lower part of society, he just looked like a young man on his way up and confident, using that degree and loving and possibly changing his very country. So that was pretty exciting.
It really seemed like politics was something in his future.
Yeah,
and and he was somebody special to be part of that. I'm here with Ernesto. I'm here to ask you about how did your involvement with Friends of Rents here change your life?
Hola, soy Ernesto Cortés. Soy egresado de Hogar de Niños Renacer. Y el apoyo que yo he recibido por Friends of Renacer.
Hello, my name is Ernesto Cortez. I was raised at the Children's Home of Rebirth, Hogar de Niños Renacer. When I was of age to leave the home, I was blessed with the opportunity to be a better person through the support of the Friends of Renacer. The organization offered me the chance to study in the university so that I could improve my situation with an education and degree. This has allowed me to find a good job and meaningful work. The support from Friends of Renacer has totally changed me because with this support, I can be a different person, the person I want to be.
Porque es gracias a ese soporte que yo hoy puedo ser una persona diferente y apoyar a mi país.
Ernesto, how has your education made a difference here in Honduras? Sí.
Es una buena pregunta. Es porque con mi formación académica o con la formación que yo recibí.
Good question. My academic studies have allowed me to have a deeper perspective and offered me the ability to understand many of the problems in my country. The education that I received at the university has given me insights to how I can be able to help and contribute to the society in ways that can generate positive changes. I believe having the opportunity to receive an education is the most important blessing and tool in making a positive change here in Honduras.
Y eso tiene que ser para ayudar a los demás.
Thanks, Ernesto. I'm curious of what is your big dream for the future?
What is this question? But I like it. What my biggest dream is to create an organization like this one, to create a non-for-profit organization to be able to comment on art, love, and a forgiveness for the history of our country. From this organization, I wish to create, or my hope is, to inspire my countrymen and women to read about, to see their identity, and to develop a love for their history. My biggest dream is to be able to use my talents and education to teach this history of my country in schools.
Just
One more question, Ernesto. If you can think of a biblical verse that speaks to you or says something about you.
Un versículo de la Biblia es Josué 1:9, que dice, no temas ni desmayes.
A verse from the Bible that speaks to me is Joshua 19. It says, do not be afraid or dismayed, because God will always be with you. This is my favorite verse because when I feel that I am hindered or I am discouraged, God tells me not to fear because He will be with me. I like this verse because when I feel alone, I remember all the support I have received from my family, from the people of Renacer, and from God.
Gracias, mi amigo. So is there a Bible verse that...
To me, the Bible verse is Hebrews 11:1, because so often we can't see what God is doing. And through 22 years at this orphanage, there's a lot of times we went home really frustrated. We cried. Those last couple of prayer times together were full of tears. But in Hebrews 11:1, God says to us, faith is believing what we can't see and hoping in what we can't see and trusting that God will give us that give us the faith to persevere even when we feel like we cannot accomplish anything.
Kathy, is there?
I have a verse, and it's one we're all familiar with, and it says a couple things to me. And it's Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and every part of the world. Well, I never thought I'd be in Honduras year after year after year, but that was God's plan for me. And in my church, sometimes people say, oh, that's wonderful that you go there. But you know what? That verse says that you would go in Jerusalem. That was their hometown. Are we also not just looking at faraway distances that sound so luxurious, which they're not, but are we being obedient to going to our neighbor? Going to, God always convicts me of those things as well.
Special thanks to all the interviewees. Jonette, is there anything else?
Just tell me a word about the impact that this trip, the second trip, had on you and your heart and your life. Tell me something about the impact.
Oh, well, a big impact, I think, was getting into a practice or of sort of ritual and prayer. At the time when I first went there, you know, I was a youth in going to a church, a Presbyterian church. And, then I went on to college afterwards. And, you know, life changes. You get out of all these kind of...
Sure.
This practice that you've grown up with. And I know, like, the first dinner that we had there, they asked me to do the prayer. And I was like, oh, I haven't done that in a long time. But, I don't know. Before, in the past, I would be really nervous about something like that. But, it really kind of felt good to be able to
natural.
Like, yeah. So makes me think, oh, you know, I can practice prayer in a group and not just be a bystander in the whole situation of it. So
wonderful.
Otra vez. Aquí. school.
Hola.
De que ella no había pedido.
Thanks for tuning in to Hey Hey, Anybody Listening? So glad you were with us today, and I hope you'll tune in again as we listen to one another.